What stories do you owe your 80-year-old self? And how can you start writing them today? One word, purpose. That's our topic today on Real Time, the podcast for realtors brought to you by the Canadian Real Estate Association. I'm your host, Erin Davis, and our guest is Zahra Al-Harazi, one of Canada's most successful businesswomen, a woman whose life defies expectations. Consultant, author, and community builder, Zahra joins Real Time to talk about the power of purpose and its business potential for realtors. So let's get started. Zahra, people have different definitions of purpose. So how do you define it, and why is it important for businesses to have a purpose beyond profit?
So thank you for that question. A purpose is the explanation of the company's motivations and their reason for being. And it's a way to set boundaries for what an organization will and will not do as part of its growth strategy. So it is really important to have purpose as an organization, because it defines the reason that you are there. And especially in today's world, you know, between the millennials and Gen Z, there's a massive trust deficit, desire for sustainability, desire to fix social inequality. Brand control isn't as much as it used to be, because there's this rise of social media and people trust more and what other people tell them about a product than the product itself. So there's all these reasons why you should have a strong purpose statement. And the purpose statement is your reason for being.
And you've said that there are two types or two ways in which your values have to align with the corporation. Can you kind of explain that?
Well, I think rather than two ways, I think there is a personal purpose and then there is an organizational purpose. And really those things should align. So organizations should really understand what their target audience, meaning their stakeholders, meaning their employees, their customers, what they want, what they desire, what is important to them, and then aligning that purpose to both those things. And if I, as an employee, don't feel the same sense of values and purpose with my organization, I'm going to be less interested in what that organization has to stand for, right? And I will go looking for somewhere else that does align with my values, my sense of purpose, the things that I want to do, what my legacy is meant to be. And so I think those are the two things that are really important. A purpose is less, you know, a lot of people write these nice things like mission statement and values and purpose and whatever, and put them up on a wall. And if you ask the employees without looking at the wall what those are, most of the time they won't be able to tell you. And they're also very similar to what every other organization is doing. You can change the logo in the name and put in another name, and you've got pretty much the same sense of purpose. And so truly understanding your audience, what they want, your employees, what they're passionate about, what motivates them, what gets them going, what drives them, is then going to make a really powerful purpose statement. And every stakeholder should remember what your purpose is without you having to articulate it over and over again.
Zahra, I find your own story of kind of realizing that you had a purpose, of course, but it wasn't really in line with who you are or what you really wanted. Can you tell us that story? Because it's really enlightening.
Yeah. I don't know that I had a purpose before I actually sat down and I worked on articulating it. You know, I think for a big chunk of my life, I was pretty lost. I was doing what I thought I was supposed to do and what other people told me. And I never really got to true success until I defined what that purpose is. And so I'm both a refugee and an immigrant. I was a refugee when we left the war in Uganda and went to Yemen. I was an immigrant when I left the war in Yemen and came to Canada. And so, you know, in that time, I just wasn't sure what I was meant to do, what I was supposed to do, how to go about life. And my sense of purpose, I didn't even know what having a sense of purpose honestly quite meant. And then I took the tools that we use when we at a really low time in my life, when I was going through, a lot of bad things. If you're from Calgary, you'll know that when the recession happens and it's this very cyclical sort of environment, it affects you. And so between that, getting a divorce, like a whole bunch of different things, I was just not at a good place. And so I took the tools that we use to build a brand. For my first company, it was an ad agency. And when we're helping a company design their purpose and their values and their brand and how they operate, we usually start with a creative brief, and that creative brief can be pretty powerful because it fully understands what this brand is supposed to be, what it does, what are its drawbacks, who's its competition, what's its purpose, how does it work, what does it look like on a shelf, and all of that. And once we understand this brand, is then when we are able to kind of move forward and design it. And right. So I took that tool and I kind of built a purpose for myself. And honestly, like in the last 15 years, that purpose hasn't changed much. But it also helped propel me to what I am doing today.
You have said that the things that you adhere to in terms of your purpose, like integrity, honesty, experience, and expertise, those are non-negotiables. They're totally who you are and what you wanted yourself to present, what you wanted you to present to the world. So how do you translate that into what a company should also have for brands? How does that translate, like your own, because, you know, your company. So how do you translate that into what others can also see and believe and be?
Yeah. So actually, those were for my company when I was building purpose for my company. And we were trying, because clients would ask us what ours was as we were building theirs. And we kind of grew by flying by the seat of our pants. We didn't actually have time to stop and do that. And so we realized that we had to do that as a company. And so as we were looking at that and trying to figure it out, and we had these big post-it notes on the wall, and we were writing things down like integrity and honesty and excellence and all of that, and nothing, it didn't feel right, and it was weird because we kept crossing it off, and it was like, why does that, you know, that sounds like a good purpose to have. And we realized that those things are set in stone. If you don't have integrity, then get out of business. You know, if you don't value excellence, then it's not going to work. And so that was the big driver, is understanding, like, okay, so those things are table stakes. They're set in stone. They're non-negotiables. Like, if we don't have these things, we shouldn't be in business, because, you know, those are the cornerstones of doing things the right way. And so when we started looking at our purpose and our values as an organization, we started looking at how we wanted to live our lives, what we wanted to leave behind, what we wanted to touch, how we wanted to operate, how we wanted to act, how we wanted people to view us. And that's how we ended up with the set of values that we wrote down. And interestingly enough, those values have kind of followed me now into my third startup, and They're the same things that I wanted then, I want now. And I realized that your personal values, your personal purpose has to align, especially as an entrepreneur, has to align like this with like completely and totally with your company and your corporate values. Otherwise, you won't be true to them.
Right. Not just a slogan or something on a coffee mug, but something that becomes part of your DNA. And Absolutely. Obviously, if you're in your third incarnation, then it certainly is. Now, question for you here, Zara, is should a purpose differ from a mission or a vision? And how do they work together if they do differ?
Yeah. So like I said, a purpose is the explanation of your motivation, right? Your reason right. for being. Yeah. A mission statement is a definition of your business. Like, what are you in business? What do you do? Who do you serve? What are your objectives, and what is your approach to achieving those objectives? Purpose, is different. And, you know, with a lot of companies, you find that whether it's your values, your mission, your purpose, they sort of belong in the HR department and again become words on a wall. They don't live and breathe throughout every silo that, and we all know that every organization is quite siloed. Your purpose should live and breathe through your entire organization. How you do billing, how you do legal, what you volunteer for, what organizations you give for, you know, what you attend, what you do. And especially as an entrepreneur. So you kind of have to live and breathe it at every touch point, you know, and if this part of your company does not align, it kind of breaks that chain.
Okay. You came up with this list of words, a long list of words. I love your circle the 20 thing. Could you explain that exercise to us? Because I get a feeling we're going to be doing this when we're done. Those of us watching, listening today, Sarah, and you're really putting yourself on the line with this one. And that's brave and it makes you vulnerable. And I think that's why it works. So go ahead and explain that for us, will you?
Happily. However, I didn't totally put myself on the line because I made it anonymous because I didn't really want to know what people thought of me. And okay. So what I did when I was working on my creative brief and my personal, values and purpose is I put together 200 words on a piece of paper and I just circled, you know, like just instinctively that, and they were good and bad words, you know, things that, maybe were flattering, some things that weren't as flattering. And I just circled the 20 words that I thought that applied to me. And then I gave that piece of paper to a lot of people in my world, everybody from clients to staff to friends, and asked them what they thought. And I made it anonymous because I wanted them to be comfortable telling me what they thought. And then I also wanted to not really know what people thought. And
it's like a focus group. Nobody likes those.
For sure. And yeah. So I compared everything and it was really interesting to see how I viewed myself versus how other people viewed me. And there was a lot of similarities, but there were a few differences. And, you know, where I thought I was assertive, a lot of people thought I was stubborn and bossy, you know, and so, but that's interesting, right? Because maybe I am, I'm not projecting myself the right way. And I had to really think about that. It's like, this is what they're seeing. Why are they seeing that? And how can I change that to them seeing me as being assertive? And so it was a very helpful, and difficult, exercise in understanding yourself and what you put out there, because that's a huge part of, you know, for all of us, especially entrepreneurs, again, you know, your brand is you. And so what you put out there in the world for people to see how they interact with you, who they believe you are is such a huge part of whether they believe in your work and your product, or not. Right. And so that was a really big, before I did this exercise, before I kind of started exploring this creative brief and this brand, you know, that self-help, self-motivation stuff belonged in this kumbaya world that didn't really apply to me, because as soon as I thought something was wrong with me, that meant something was wrong with me. So I just wasn't going to think that anything was wrong with me.
And that perception is their reality as much as you go, no, 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 that's not me at all. Okay. Where did you get the 200 words from?
I Googled, I sat down, I wrote, you know, descriptive words. I just tried to put together words that I knew. I good words, bad words, like it just very easy to do that part, you know? Yeah.
Maybe there
was some bias too in that exercise for myself, because I know what words I wanted to see on there and stuff like that. So, but as long as, and that's why I made it such a big list of words, so that I covered so many different things.
Yeah. Well, you said anonymous, but still, I do think it was vulnerable of you to open the doors to what people thought of you, because most of us, a lot of us don't want to know. So, and it worked for you. It was an eye opener. And you have a few other tests that you really kind of like. There's, for example, the Enneagram.
Yes. Yes, I love the Enneagram personality test. And really, it was a moment of conflict with a business partner. And we decided to do the Enneagram personality test because we did not see eye to eye and we did not understand, you know, how the other person works. And we were so polar opposites in personality. And so we did this Enneagram personality test as part of our, trying to fix, the relationship. And so we brought in a coach and they did the Enneagram personality test. And it was fascinating because, you know, not only do we all have certain personality definitions and traits. And so for me, you know, my personality is I want to try everything and see what sticks to the wall. Right. But on the bad side, I'm the one with all the big ideas, but then I'm never around to pick up the pieces, right? Because I'm not the detail oriented person. Whereas my partner was like down in the weeds in this detail stuff, right? And so she would never do anything unless it was tried, tested, true. She knew exactly how it would work. And so we frustrated each other to an enormous degree. And so it was really powerful to understand, you know, the Enneagram not only tells you, how you work with people, how people should work with you, personality things, it tells you what your wings are. So if you're in a bad place, you might lean more into this direction, of being an overprotective bully, for example, or in this direction of being too accommodating, because you really want it to work. And so you really just understand. And it's all part of this growth journey that I think a lot of us just don't take on because, like you said, it's difficult. It's scary. You know, it's a lot of times you don't know what you're going to find on the other side of that research. But it really helps. It helps understand what you want, how you're going to do it. You know, it helped me understand what I wanted to do with my life. And so I'll tell you what my purpose statement was that I wrote like 15 years ago.
Okay.
And this just rang true to me at the time. It didn't mean, it wasn't a goal that was money oriented or career oriented. But what I wrote down is I will spend the rest of my life living stories and experiences that will change perspectives, outcomes, and hearts. And that was really important to me because then I was a marketer, right? That was my first company phase. I was a marketer. What we did was we sold things to people. We convinced them to buy what we wanted them to buy, to go where we wanted them to go. And so that was part of my DNA. But I wanted to have experiences. I had kind of come off, a part of my life where I kind of didn't have the freedom to do what I wanted to do. And now all of a sudden I did, and I wanted to do everything. I wanted to change hearts because giving back is such a huge part of who I am. And I wanted people to care more. I wanted them to see other people and, you know, take in, how they can change, their lives. I wanted to change people's outcomes. I wanted to help people in poverty and get them out of that situation into a different place. And so these were all things that were important to me that meant a lot to me. And so I started working on that and I started speaking, for example. I've spoken to audiences around the world, 2,000 to 5,000 people at a time. I've spoken at the UN, at the Canada's Most Powerful Women Conference, at a conference in Istanbul, for example, that had 2,500 entrepreneurs from around the world. You know, that became a big part of what I did. I set myself up to a place where I became an influencer and I got to sit at tables where big decisions were made. I was the Canadian ambassador for UNICEF for 4 years. I was on the National Canadian Board of Directors for Make-A-Wish Foundation. Those were all things that I cared about. The first trip I took with my kids after my divorce was we went with Homes of Hope and we built homes in Tijuana. Wow. You know, for families. So all of that kind of led into this purpose statement that I had put out and it all continues to fit because everything I do, I measure it against that. Does this feel right to me? Which has led to my third company. And I started doing stuff because I wanted to have experiences, right? So I did everything from learning how to ride a motorcycle to jumping out of a plane. I am terrified of heights, to doing big and small things that were new.
And it's incredible.
So just
Yeah, that clarity really did just open up everything for you. And you talk about being at the table where big decisions are made. But these are things, too, that can translate so beautifully to the kitchen table, too, because you have imbued your children not only with your brilliance and everything that you are and have proven, not only, you know, in business, but in life and the obstacles that you have surmounted, but the fact that you are giving examples of giving back and charity and living that. And I think this is a message, your story is one that applies not only in business, but around the kitchen table. So I think you're just resonating so much with so many people and, you know, today as well. So thanks for this, but we're not done. Because Zara, I want to ask you, how can a well-executed sense of purpose help boost your reputation, or maybe even shift misconceptions about you or your business? It's fine to have these ideas of what your purpose, what your mission, what they are going to be, but you got to get it out there, right?
Yes, absolutely. Before you get it out there, though, it has to be true. It has to be true to who you are. It has to be true to what you do. So for example, if we are talking real estate, you know, and everybody wants to sell houses to people and, you know, a lot of those mission, purpose, value statements are going to be the same. But what is your niche? What sets you apart from other people? What is it that you truly believe in and you want to do? So I'll, you know, an example could be, somebody who wants to help, seniors transition into, smaller homes, which is exactly where I am right now. Mm-hmm. I want a one story forever home that, you know, that I never have to move out of, hopefully. And I don't want to be moving when I'm in my 70s, right? You know, mm-hmm. and trying to figure it out. And so, but if there is somebody that has decided that's going to be where they want to live and that's the client that they want. So now they've found a niche market. If you do a good job, if you live by your sense of purpose, if you actually do that properly, every person that you work with is going to recommend you to other people. And that means, you know, what organizations do you volunteer for? Like I said earlier, what organizations do you give to? What events do you go to? Who do you socialize with? Like all of that needs to fit and it needs to be real, because if it's not real, if you are acting and if you've decided that this is going to be what you want to do, but it doesn't, it's not a part of you, then it's not going to be believable. And so I really think that understanding yourself and what you want to do in life is a huge part of your success story. It really is, because if you are truly hungry for that thing, if you are truly inspired by that thing, if you are truly motivated to do that thing, then it all becomes real, right? You work harder, you work faster, you innovate better, and it all fits.
Yeah. And you stop being a tide, you know, a boat against the current. It just flows. I mean, that authenticity allows you to flow. So what do businesses or entrepreneurs need to consider when they're defining and articulating a purpose?
You know, there's this really, really interesting, Japanese concept that I really do love. It's called ikigai, and it means your reason for being. And your ikigai is at the center of what you love, what the world needs from you, what you can be paid for, and what you are good at. So meaning your passion, your mission, your vocation, and your profession. Right. And right at the center of those four things is your ikigai. And I absolutely love that. And I discovered that when I was working on my own purpose, because, you know, it's easy to say, well, I'm really passionate about this thing. I love it. But it's not what I'm good at. It's not my actual vocation. Like, you know, I'm really passionate about saving lives, but I'm not a doctor. So how am I going to do that? Right. So what you're passionate about is only one piece of the puzzle. What your mission is in life is the other piece of the puzzle. Like what the world needs, your vocation is what you can be paid for, you know, your profession is what you are good at. And you take all of those and you put them together. And at the center of that is your purpose. And so great. I mean, look it up. It's ikigai. it's a great way to kind of look at yourself and your life and what you want and how all of those pieces fit. Because like I said, if it's not real, if it's not believable, if you're not actually good at that thing, you're not going, and maybe you can get better at that thing. Maybe you can educate yourself and do that, but maybe you can't because your circumstances in life are not going to allow you to go deep enough into understanding how to get good at that thing in order to do it well. And so, you know, at the center of all of that, I think is your sense of purpose.
Okay.
Well, not just me, Ikigai is the one that coined that. So
I love that. I just love it. It just sums it up so perfectly. So, okay. I know you've said you don't like to give advice, but I'm going to go ahead and ask you anyway and see if we can get something out of you here. What are some authentic tactical ways to weave a sense of purpose through every facet of your business? Do you have any that you can share or some feedback or how do you operate there?
Yeah. You know, I am a member of Entrepreneurs Organization. One of the things we are told is not to give advice to our forum members. You can share an experience or a story as opposed to giving advice. But, you know, if I were to say three things that really make a difference is clarity. You know, what I've talked about is just understanding yourself, understanding what you do, why you do it, who you are, how you operate and all of those things. So that's one. Pride is another one, you know, having pride in yourself, having that confidence and that courage and that understanding and that resilience. And resilience doesn't come from nothing. Like, we are not born with or without resilience. We earn it. We gain it. And we gain it by doing difficult things, by stepping out of our comfort zone. And the more we do that, the more we step out of our comfort zone, the more we do difficult things, like me jumping out of a plane, is the things that help you build that resilience. And that resilience is so closely tied with courage and belief in yourself and ability. And so having that sense of pride in yourself, and finding that is really important. I think, you know, as women, we are taught not, it seems boastful to talk about yourself in a certain way or to take ownership of, you know, say, yeah, I did that. As opposed to, it was a team effort, you know, be proud of who you are, what you've done, how you've got here. And then be motivated. And motivation is not easy to come by, you know, like find that thing that you are really passionate about and you really want. Is really important, because if you find that, then you're more motivated to do it. And motivation only works if your environment works, like if your psychological state, the environment, the people around you, the support system that you have, and your past experiences, those things come together in a perfect place, and you can tap into that motivation. So find that motivation, find that thing that makes you want to do something.
Well, the challenges that you faced, Zara, when you came to Canada were far from a perfect place from which to start. I mean, yes, confidence and perseverance had to be in your tool belt, but how did they lead you to such a successful career in business when you were first starting out and having to navigate life in a new country?
Great question. I'm not entirely sure I know how to answer that. Only because a lot of it happened, right? A lot of it happened. You know, I knocked on a million doors, and I was a nobody immigrant from nowhere. And I was knocking on doors, you know, because like when I came, I had three children. I had a high school degree. I didn't even know what the word entrepreneur meant at the time, you know, so I was so far behind everybody else. I was 26 years old, like I said, three kids, and didn't know anything about anything. Just growing up where I am because of poverty, of the country and the war and everything else, you know, there's these big gaps in my knowledge of even popular culture and things like that. And so I knocked on doors. I asked people out for coffee. I asked them to teach me things that I didn't know, and nobody ever said no. You know, people are kind. people are helpful. That is, I think, our first approach for the majority of people. And so people really, like, you know, the people, the doors that I knocked on, the people that taught me things ended up becoming my friends, my clients, my motivators, my fan club, you know, and they helped cheer me on and take me to places, that I might not have got to on my own. And so, you know, but I know that I put myself in places where I was lucky enough to have those resources. But a lot of it, I think, happens with life, and you have to capitalize on it. You have to move forward. Like, my very first award was Top 40 Under 40. And a client of mine, who was also a friend, Andrea, put my name in the hat. I didn't even know about the Top 40 Under 40 award. And I was busy trying to build a company. You know, I wasn't even thinking about it. I was early first year in business sort of thing. And I won that. And with that came a lot of accolades and a lot of clients, new clients. And, you know, and it kind of grew from there. So put yourself, again, this is advice that I don't like to give, but put yourself in rooms where things are happening. You know, volunteer, get involved in community, join a sports team. One of my very first, things that I did, when I came to Calgary, because girls, where I come from are not allowed gym class. And I don't think I even ran as a kid. And I joined, Gym Button in Calgary, started this thing, where you just went and played a sport every week, and it was 40 girls, 40 guys. And then everybody got together at the end of the night for a drink. And the first time I went, every game, like every weekend, every week, we would do basketball or hockey or floor hockey, or, you know, all sorts of deportaging. And every week I'd be the one who put my hand up and said, I've never done that before. And I met the best people. And some of them are still, like, they play such a huge part in my life, especially Jim Button. And so a lot of that is the things that have made a difference. Like, I can pinpoint decisions that I made to do things that weren't success related that led to my biggest successes.
Talking about the purpose, does that change? I mean, our perspective at 20 is so different from our perspective at 40 and at 60 and on, for just who we think is old, for one thing. But does your perspective need to be recalibrated as you go along, or what is your opinion on that?
1,000%. 1,000%. What I wanted 10 years ago is not what I wanted 20 years ago, is not what I wanted when I was a kid, is in some cases not what I want today. We change, our circumstances change. You know, you might, there was a point where I just really wanted to go to Hong Kong. I don't know why. I was fascinated by my visit there and the culture there and the people that I met there and the best of the best of the expat community. And I just wanted to live in Hong Kong, but I'm an only child. You know, my father was not well, so it didn't make sense for me to do that. And so that dream had to be put aside, thankfully, because it, you know, what ended up happening was much better. But, things change. And like I said, your environment, things that happen to you, your circumstances kind of guide different things, different moments in your life. You might go down a path that you never expected and find like a pot of gold at the end of that rainbow. And so, I revisit my purpose, my creative brief every year. And some things have not changed. I really haven't changed my purpose statement because I like it. It fits me. But other things have changed. So absolutely. You have to revisit.
Like a tune-up every year. That's fascinating. Okay. So what is, or what are some stories you want to tell as an 80-year-old?
So at the risk of sounding very corny, what's important to me is doing good in this world, people who do good in this world. And I'm very choosy about what I let into my life at this stage, about who I let into my life at this stage. You know, I have kids that live all over the world, and I spend a lot of time going to see them. And so I have a limited amount of time outside of my business and volunteering for things that are important to me, of who I want to hang out with, what I want to do. And so I'm very choosy. I'm choosy about what influence I want to have, who I want to let into my life, what boards and charities I want to be involved in, what I want my business life to look like. And so my new company is called Skillet, and it's an experiential company. It's where we take a family on an experience, but they learn something every single time. So it's very experiential, but there are soft and hard skills that you come away with at every interaction. So for example, we'll take a family out into the desert with no food, and they have to dig for water, forage for food, learn about medicinal herbs with a guide, of course, learn about medicinal herbs and how to build a lean-to.
Wow. And so, is there room service? No, I'm kidding.
No. They're going to build a solar oven and cook their own food.
Wow.
So can you see how that brings together everything in my world?
Sure.
Because number one, it's experience-based. Number two, it's very associated with people and changing lives and influencing, you know, making their lives better by teaching them things. For every skill we sell, we donate one to a young person in need. Wow. So that's my give back, you know, and so it all kind of like all the pieces kind of fit. And that's what I want to give my time to. That's the story I want to tell.
Beautiful. Thank you so, so much for sharing some of your story here today. And we will definitely tell people more about that as we say goodbye to you. But Sarah, we are just so grateful as we wrap up today. Are there any like three things you want people to take away from our discussion today? You've given us so much.
I think I'm going to go back to the three things I said earlier: pride in yourself, clarity in what you have to do, and motivation to do it.
Wow. Well, we've got all of that, especially the motivation after talking with you today, Zara. Thank you so much. And we cannot wait to find out what's next for you, including Skillet, but no more jumping out of perfectly operating planes. Okay.
No, nope, that was a one and done.
Good for you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Really appreciate it.
Wasn't she amazing? And you know what? We only began to skim the surface of her own personal story. So if you want more inspiration from Zara, her book is called What It Takes to Live and Lead with Purpose, Laughter, and Strength. It details her incredible life journey and how it all began. And you can find details on that in our show notes. We will also link you to Ikigai so you know what it is and where to find it. And also the EnneagramTest.com. It's all fascinating. And you know, if you liked this episode of Real Time, we invite you to explore our other episodes. Don't forget to rate or review the show. We always, always appreciate it. I'm your host, Erin Davis. Real Time is brought to you by the Canadian Real Estate Association, CREA. Production is courtesy of Alphabet Creative with technical support from Rob Whitehead. Thanks so much for joining us, and we'll see you again next time on Real Time.